This was the year China's leader Xi Jinping doubled down on his efforts to eliminate a virus that most of the world had learned to live with. At the Communist Party Congress in October, he promised not to waver in the battle to eliminate COVID-19. A month later, that policy was at breaking point. People had had enough. Some even called for Xi to stand down. But it was the diversity of the protesters that may have alarmed the president more.
The depth and breadth of dissatisfaction with the government, which ran across many sectors. So students, young people on the streets, householders, workers in factories, all seemed to be saying the same thing, that they were absolutely fed up of this policy, that it was counterproductive, and that they blamed the government.
The government, though, appeared to listen. Just days later, zero COVID began to be dismantled, with Chinese scientists now saying the virus wasn't that serious after all.
There is definitely a back down from President Xi, if you look at it that way, but he's done it very carefully, in that he's given all the power to local governments. So if something goes wrong, that's the local government's fault, not his. And if something goes right, then the credit is his.
Xi Jinping.
6 weeks earlier, President Xi's leadership had been unquestioned as he secured a third historic term as party chief. With no obvious successor, it's a position that in theory he could hold for life. And while his leadership seemed secure, the protests, along with his relentless anti-corruption purge, have made him many enemies.
I think what it has done is reveal the degree to which people are not buying into the idea that Xi Jinping is both wise and deeply loved by the people.
Congratulations.
Like mainland China, people in Hong Kong don't get to choose their leader. John Lee was selected by a committee to be the territory's next chief executive, in a contest in which he was the only candidate. Lee was a former security chief, authorizing the use of tear gas, rubber bullets, and occasional live rounds to disperse protesters during the 2019 unrest. In contrast, there were local elections once more in the nearby democratic island of Taiwan. But they didn't go the president's way, forcing Tsai Ing-wen to resign as chairwoman of the governing party. The victors, the KMT, traditionally favour stronger economic ties with China. The mainland's economy, though, is no longer the global engine for growth it once was, mainly because of President Xi's zero COVID strategy. Of particular concern, rising youth unemployment.
We have, for example, in China's cities, a youth unemployment rate estimated at around 18 to 20%. We have people coming out of universities who are finding it difficult to get jobs. So that's urban middle class discontent. At the other end of the spectrum, you have migrant workers whose factories were forced to close.
It was a year when President Xi's frail predecessor, Hu Jintao, was mysteriously removed from the party congress. Speculation as to why continues. A month later, another former president, Jiang Zemin, died aged 96. His passing bringing to mind a China that once seemed more open and connected to the world. Adrian Brown, Al Jazeera.